You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today is Friday, September the 6th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming, RadioAlbion.com. Everybody's working for the weekend. It is Friday. We're wrapping up the work week. Before we get rolling too far, I do want to let you know I did hear from Sven this week, and he's getting settled in to what I would call a halfway house. I think they have a different name for it there in the UK. Hopefully, we don't have a regular line of communication. Hopefully, we'll be able to communicate on a more regular basis. But I did want to pass along. I have heard from him. He's doing fine. They've got, you know, initially at least, pretty severe restrictions on what he can and can't do. But hopefully, as things progress, those will be eased and he'll be able to have some more freedom. So that is good news, and I did want to pass along and share it with you. And the brief amount of time I was able to communicate with him, you know, he was talking about getting his Christmas cards again and how much that meant. And, you know, I've said all along, you know, when we had our Sven Longshank support links, you know, and I'd encourage y'all to drop notes, I was pointing out that, you know, how much that means to somebody that's been locked up. And, you know, that was one of the things that he communicated to me, is how much that meant again. And he's told me that before, but, you know, seeing all these Christmas cards and these notes that he got from y'all, and that really, really left an impression on him. So you see, even those things you think at the time might not make a big deal, it does. And he really... It's meant a lot to him. So I will keep y'all posted as I have information I can share. You know, a lot of it I can't share. I know a lot of y'all would like to continue to send him notes. I cannot, and thus I will not, share where he's at. They don't want that public. It could cause all kinds of problems for the system. Obviously, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do anything to rock the boat here. As I do get any kind of information, status that I can pass along, I will, of course, very much do that. I'll be upfront. Share the info with you. Speaking of sharing info, we had some happenings this week that kind of, I don't know, I haven't heard a whole lot about it. And it's kind of just was a flash in the pan and not much has been said about it. And I want to get into a little bit. And this is this whole thing where the Justice Department is taking more legal action concerning RT. Now, y'all know I have in the past used RT articles quite a bit, for simple fact that A, they're short. Now, I probably number two after RT would be the Daily Mail, but the articles there written so poorly and they tend to be kind of long. And, you know, RT articles are short. I mean, sure, they're going to have a pro-Russian slant to them, but more or less there's a lot more, it's a lot more brief and to the point and a lot easier for me. It has been a lot easier for me to use. I can't imagine, like, if I had to sit down and try to use a New York Times article that is, for some reason those people have it in their head that if they use a lot of words it means it's really smart. Yeah. So what they do is, instead of saying something and getting the point across in what could be two paragraphs, they turn it into, you know, like two chapters out of a book to get around to saying what amounts to a government press release. I can't imagine trying to use something like that to one of the, you know, for one of these shows. Well, they've done this. They're doing this latest round of crackdown. They haven't shut RT, access to RT, blocked it completely from the internet. They shut down some time ago RT America, but you know, you can still access RT on the internet, but you see this escalating move towards clamping down on dissent. Now, what I'm wondering about is I almost get the impression something big is coming. I mean, you put this in the context and view in the same context as the Telegram guy getting arrested because they're demanding basically backdoors into Telegram. And now this, one almost gets the sense that there's something big coming down the works, you know, something big coming down the line, and they're not confident in their narrative control. They're trying to clamp down and get even more narrative control. So I wonder, on the one hand, if something big is coming down the pike, or if this is just more of the same shenanigans. It's hard to say. I have been going back and forth since I read the story originally. I've been going back and forth on what this means. Now, I read this and I think of the context of it. I'm hesitant now to link up, you know, and read and quote from RT articles. I mean, with this action, it doesn't point towards, you know, I got to have problems from doing that. But I'm a believer in getting ahead of the curve. You know, when you see them doing things in a certain direction, you want to get ahead of that. Keep yourself out of trouble. So I'm not quoting any RT articles this week. Instead, we're going to have a general discussion on this topic, because I have read various sources, and we're going to get into that, you know, about this occurrence. Now, the gist of the details is the government is alleging that these two Russians connected with RT set up a shell company and paid money to influencers, podcasters, social media e-celebs or whatever, to unwittingly, they in the Justice Department's words, they duped these podcasters, these e-celebs, these influencers into repeating Russian propaganda. And that's the narrative. Now, we come at this, I always say this, when you get presented a narrative from the media government complex, the first thing I always approach it is you know they're lying. I'm not saying everything they're saying is a lie, but you know at best you're only getting a part of the story. They always lie. We know that. I mean, we don't, you know, the media would say he claims without evidence. Well, of course, they're not going to admit that they're lying, but they do have a track record of continually lying. So we approach it immediately from the starting point of we know they're lying. Now, we're going to get into this and think about the implications of this, what it means. Again, on the one hand, I get the impression maybe something big's coming and these people are not confident in their ability to control the narrative. So they're really trying to clamp down any unregulated way in which people can communicate ideas. A white pill, as it were, that's inserted in there for you is these aren't the actions of people that are confident they have everything under control. I have absolutely no doubt that they have advanced AI. They have all these computer models and they run these scenarios through. I was thinking about this yesterday because I'd already decided yesterday I wanted to talk about this. And you know they have that. You know they have all the computer models and AI that they run all of this stuff through. So if you think about it in terms of, like, if you were going to play chess and you're using a computer to help you play chess, well, at the beginning of the game, the AI, the computer models, will sit there and tell you, you have all of these moves that can ultimately lead you to victory. Now, you're playing against another opponent. The U.S. government is playing against multiple opponents. They're playing against their own population. They're playing against foreign adversaries. Now, in your chess match, using your computer models and your advanced AI, which models out all these different moves that you have at your disposal, which are going to lead to your victory, as the match goes on, because you can't withdraw from the match, as the match goes on, the list of moves gets shorter. And where at the beginning, your AI, your computer models could show you all of these different ways, all these different moves you could make and win, you know, those moves are being countered by your opponents. And again, the government, they're playing against multiple opponents, their own citizens, powers abroad, so on and so forth. Now, as the match drags on, the list of moves gets shorter. And you wind up with a situation where your advanced AI is telling you, well, you have eight, you know, on extreme end, you have eight moves left and then you lose. Okay, well, what if we do this? Well, then you have five moves after that and you lose. Well, what if we do this? Well, then you have seven moves and you lose. That list gets shorter and you're winding up, no matter what decisions you make, because of decisions you made earlier that you can't undo, you're going to get a bad end no matter what you do. In that situation, you start getting more desperate. One of the things when I was contemplating is something big coming down, you have to think, if that is a situation where all of their computer models, all their AI is telling them, you do all of this, you lose, at some point in time, it could be very tempting. The only option you have in this chess game is to jump up and flip the board over, let the pieces fall where they may, and hope maybe things work out. Now, the way that would be is to just go all in on war on some front or another. You know, whichever front that would be, I would think it would be going all in the Middle East, because Israel owns the government of the U.S., and then delegating the Russian front. They don't want to give up that front. So delegating that to the European vassal states and telling them they've got to fight, they're part of World War III with Russia, while the U.S. goes all in with Iran. The problem with this in is that relies on the hope that China stays on the sidelines and doesn't get involved one way or the other. It's a desperate move. It's flipping the chessboard over. Obviously, I don't know if that's what's in the works. But if something big were coming, that would be one of the possibilities. It could also be related to, you know, shenanigans regarding their fake elections. I was thinking how curious it is that they picked such a implausible candidate as Harris. They could have picked the hair dude that runs, the governor of California, Newsom. They could have picked him and, you know, do their election thing, you know, for their fake election and have him quote unquote win. And that would be at least more plausible to people than running Harris. It's almost like they intentionally picked a ridiculous candidate. It's like their demands for you to go along with it are becoming more and more absurd. If they picked a plausible person, that doesn't require the same level of submission. If they picked this ridiculous person who couldn't even pull 1% among Democrat voters, and they present her as she's won the fake election, that's going to require a lot more submission to go along with that narrative. Now, getting into this, one of the sources I read about this RT story from the government was an AP, Associated Press story, and it came from through Yahoo, but it was an AP story reposted up on Yahoo News. And there's so much gaslighting that is going on. And I think a lot of people don't grasp how bad it is. There is an immeasurable amount of gaslighting. And the AP story I read on this via Yahoo News was a classic example, and it's not the only one. And I want to get into this because we're being gaslit all the time. We're being lied to all the time and constantly gaslit. Everybody, regardless of political beliefs. And I wanted to take the opportunity to get into that, so maybe you can share and help other people understand how they're being gaslit continuously. I read this story. It is the same rough story, like I say, through this AP article. And they're talking about these they're more or less considered conservative. I'm not really familiar, to be all honesty. I read the names. I'm not really familiar with these media, e-celeb personalities, podcasters, whatever the hell they are. I mean, some of the names are familiar. I don't listen to them. I don't know. But the story, again, the Justice Department says these people were unwittingly duped. Now, they're also alleging, like, one of these guys got paid $50,000 a month to turn around and have his stuff put through this network or whatever. I really haven't read a lot of details on how this supposedly worked, just the government's outline that they put out in their press release. Now, I'm going to tell you, I could assure you that nobody here at Radio Albion is getting any $50,000 a month. It kind of reminds you of how you fall for a scam. They're saying they're unwittingly duped. I can tell you right now, like if suddenly I got an email and it said, "Hey, Grandpa Dan, we really love your stuff and we want to put it up on this whatever network or whatever. And if you'll throw in some talking points that we like, we'll pay you $50,000 a month." My first reaction is going to be, and I have, who knew I had a long lost Nigerian prince as an uncle or something. In other words, it comes back to that. If something's too good to be true, then it is. Now, according to the story, you know, these guys were duped. The Justice Department is in no way, shape, or form even hinting they're going to go after these podcasters, these e-celebs. Now, the gaslighting comes in here. I wanted to get into this gaslighting. Yahoo allows comments, and I go into the comments, and I'm so good at this now, I already know what the comments are going to be before I ever click on them, depending on what the story is. Now, I go to the comments, and I scrolled through page after page after page of these comments, and every single one of them was basically the same comment over and over again. The first thing that struck me about it is, you know, like if you're a student, be it in high school or college, your teachers or your professors, you know, they're going to tell you you're not allowed, you know, like the number one rule, you're not allowed to use Wikipedia for a source. And you'll have students that will sit there and read Wikipedia and then just rewrite it, you know, for their essay. They'll rewrite the Wikipedia article and just kind of put it in their own words. And voila, I didn't copy paste Wikipedia. So I didn't use Wikipedia, but they did actually use Wikipedia. It reminded me of that. The comments, page after page, all the comments were the same comment, just slightly reworded with a different name stuck on there. I believe this is a combination of bots and shills. It's a bot farm with shills running it. And I'll explain why that is. And before the media says, "You said you claim without evidence," here's my evidence. I'll get to the evidence here in a minute. Now, if you make this statement, because you see this, you know, in other places here. I'm just using this Yahoo AP article as an example because you can see it in other places on the internet when you get used to looking for it. Somebody will come back and say, "Oh no, you just can't accept the fact that other people have a different opinion of you." And in this, they condemn themselves and then admit themselves to be a liar. "Oh, you just can't admit that other people have a different opinion." This is how we know when you have a situation like that. These are bots and shills, and their job is to gaslight you. Now, in this fake U.S. election thing that's going on, you're going to have three, to boil things down to their more simplistic form, you're going to have three groups of people. The first group you're going to have are the Trump derangement people, you know? It doesn't matter who Team D runs. These people, Trump represents their dad to them. Whether these people are male or female, Trump is daddy. They hate daddy. And he's the embodiment of all evil that's ever existed. They couldn't explain to you exactly why that is because it's a weird mental health issue they've got going. It wouldn't matter if Team D ran a stump. Those people are going to vote for him. Okay, it doesn't matter. Kamala Harris is the stump. Like I said, they could have run Gavin Newsom and it would be a lot more plausible. I don't know why they didn't do that. You say, "Well, the rules didn't." Look, nobody thinks that the government operates by any kind of rules. They make the rules up as they go. So you can't say, "Well, the rules, the Democrats had no choice. The best thing they could do was Harris." No, they picked a stump. The Trump derangement people, and I believe they're probably the smallest group of people. I do. Now, they get a big megaphone because the media amplifies their message. That's also part of the gaslighting. I believe they're probably the smallest group of people. That's one group, the Trump derangement people. It doesn't matter if Team D's running a stump, they're going to vote for them because yeah, they have weird mental issues going. Now, the second group are the MAGA cultists, because that's what it's turned into. And I've said this multiple times. You know, 2016, Trump running in 2016 was like a party. We all had fun with it. There was like, we saw this potential, like Trump could bring about some real change. I think I view 2016 as the last gasp effort to try to kind of turn things around with voting. This election, this 2024 version of Trump is nothing like 2016. I mean, he's out there, you know, 2016, I don't need your money because y'all will be buying me off. Now he's taking all of their money. He's all of his speech. Now he's for abortion. All his speeches seem to be about how much he wants to do for Israel, so on and so forth. And yet these people wear their red hats and they cling to this. They've turned Trump into like the second coming of Jesus Christ or something. It's this also is like a mental illness sort of thing. Now, I do think that's a much more sizable group than the Trump derangement people. But that's the next group. It's still a mental health group. And then the third group are people that are more or less ambivalent. They just want to be left alone. You know, they want to be able to afford some groceries and maybe a nicer car. And someday, maybe the promise of maybe being able to afford a house, maybe if that's not too much to ask. They don't care about these personalities. They just want some form of normalcy. Anybody that will promise them some form of normalcy, yeah, they're for it. These are basically going to be your three groups of people. Now, getting back to the gaslighting and why this is evidence. When they say, oh, you just can't accept that other people don't share your opinion, that in itself is the evidence. Because you have, when you have an article like that, and I scrolled through as far as I could take it, because the gaslighting is a spiritual attack on you. It attacks your mind and thus your spirit. When I read through as long as I could, page after page of these comments, and they're all the same comment. These guys weren't duped. They were Russian agents all along. All these Republicans, all these conservative retards, they're all Russian agents. How come they love Russia so much? Man, they're all Russian agents. Well, it's always the Republicans and conservatives that love Putin and authoritarian governments, don't they? All variations. They were duped. They should be thrown in prison. In fact, all Republicans should be thrown in prison. It's the same thing. Now, here's the thing. Only two things can be true here. One, this is gaslighting, organized gaslighting being done by a combination of bots and shills, okay? Or two, remember what was said earlier about people don't share your opinion? That's relevant here. Because your first choice is this is bots and shills and an organized effort to gaslight you. The second option is literally every single one that read the article and felt strongly enough about it to comment it just so happened to have the exact same opinion. Only one of the two things can be true. Now, I think the most likely is number one, because as we've already covered, they themselves would say people have a different opinion than you do. Exactly. Where are they? Now, the way this works, these articles go up and they have the comments pre-canned. I believe this. They have the comments pre-canned. If the article stays up for multiple days, eventually, yeah, you're going to get some other comments thrown in there. But that's not the point. Most people, when the article's fresh, it fades down the news line after a day, and no one's going to see those other comments. People click on the article when it's fresh, and then they want you to look at the comments, and you're supposed to read that and go, wow, everybody believes the Republicans are all Russian spies who deserve to be in prison, I guess. Now, they do the gaslighting. Because I want to be fair here, they do the gaslighting on the other side. Like I say, I already know what the gaslighting comments are going to be. If there's an article up about, let's say the latest round of bombing genocide of the Palestinians, you go to the comments there, And every single one of the comments is, what about Hamas, though? Hamas could end this hostility at any time. The Biden people, they just support the terrorists and they support Hamas. They don't support our greatest ally, Israel. What is wrong? Hamas could end this war today if they released the hostages. And again, it's the exact same comment reworded with different names attached. See, that's gaslighting for the other people. See, that's gaslighting more targeted towards people who would naturally support the Team D camp. They're supposed to read that and go, wow, I guess most people in this country actually support genociding the Palestinians. I must be this crazy minority that doesn't support genociding the Palestinians. You see, they do this continually. It's a way of putting everybody into a box. It's a way of keeping people isolated in echo chambers. You know, when people on their social media and they talk back and forth to each other and they support, this is their cause. But then they read an article and it looks like the whole world is against them. Nobody shares their opinion. It's discouraging, and it's a way of basically freezing you into inaction. Now, granted, I've gotten way off the topic. I've gotten way the hell off the topic here, but I really wanted to get into the gaslighting when I saw that latest round about this story. This is done on purpose, and you're going to see it. If you come to recognize it, you'll see it all over the internet. Anywhere where people are free to post opinions and comments, you're going to see these bot shill threads. And I believe it's a combination because there's too many posters for it not to be bots, but yet they have to have shills that can jump back into that account and start responding if responses are necessary. If a comment or a thread, whatever the forum may be, if a bot thread starts getting a lot of hits, the bot can't respond. So the shill has to be able to take over the account and start responding for it. Or a lot of times the shills will come in as another party that totally 100% agrees with what the bot said. You're the crazy one. This is, like I say, it can only be gaslighting or everybody has the exact same opinion on a given topic. It's one or the other. It cannot be, you know, there are no other choices here. And because we know that people have different opinions, that really by process of elimination, it tells you what is going on. They're shutting, they're really starting to clamp down. And I've said for a while, our own doctor Matthew Raphael Johnson, you know, he's basically an expert and a scholar on these Russian topics, so he does, of course, a lot of shows on Russia and the Ukraine and things in that part of the world. And I've said for a while, especially with this conflict, if it escalates, if the West continues, mean the West means the U.S. If they continue to escalate it, there comes a point to where you have to start saying, can we keep speaking these truths? Can Dr. Johnson, as an example, continue to put out his academic work on these topics without being labeled? As it escalates, you fall in danger of being labeled as giving, you know, aid and comfort to the enemy. And such dissension becomes more and more dangerous for truth tellers. It goes beyond controlling just a certain topic. This action with RT, it sends a message. Like I say, me, myself, I'm very hesitant. I'm going to be very hesitant moving forward to link up RT articles on here because you see the direction this is going, and that's one of the intended things. Only a fool will say, well, I'm going to do it anyway. On principle, well, you're going to be on your principle, you know, in jail or worse. You got to get ahead of these things and see where they're going. To fail to do so, you know, put you in a bad spot. A really good example of this is Scott Ritter. Y'all probably all are familiar with who Scott Ritter is. And he's done a lot of journalism for RT. I've read a lot of his pieces on RT, and they're generally pretty good. I don't agree with everything he says. I don't agree with anything, with everything anybody says. But he's done a lot of good journalistic work for RT. Now, a lot of you are also probably familiar with just a few weeks, I believe, ago. Time gets away, may have been a month or so. But he was getting on a plane to fly overseas, and he got drug off the plane, and his passport was confiscated, and the FBI raided his home. Now, when I say you got to look ahead and see the direction things are going and preemptively take action if you can. See, there's a classic example of not doing that. Tara Reid, the woman that accused Biden of molesting or raping or whatever, she went over to Russia. I think it was a year or so ago. She went over there on the premises of doing a book signing. And once she got over there, she asked for amnesty and got it. And she's still over there. Likewise, when the January 6th thing first happened, you know, there was the guy, I think it was from California, and he flew over to Europe on the premise of buying materials for his business. And he went across Europe and crossed illegally into Belarus. And when he got apprehended by the border guards in Belarus, he asked for political asylum and got it. You see, he early on saw where they were going with the January 6th prosecutions, and he got the hell out of Dodge. Now, I mean, I'm sure it's not an easy road to hoe. Go to a foreign country, you don't speak the language, you don't know anybody. But the one thing he isn't doing is he's not sitting in the bottom of a D.C. gulag being beaten by the prison guards. You know, better to be in Belarus and free than to be in a D.C. gulag being beaten up by the prison guards. Scott Ritter failed to see the direction, and I can understand the hesitancy. You know, but when you're doing this work and you see the direction the government is going, he's made multiple trips to Russia. Why the hell didn't he just stay over there? I mean, I know it's hard. It's hard to leave the country. You go somewhere, you don't speak the language, but he knew people there. He had contacts there. He had friendly relations with people there, people who could help him out. He was already had a job. He was working for RT doing this journalism. And he didn't. He kept coming back to the U.S. And now it's too late. When they drug his self off the plane, they took his passport. Now he can't leave. The only thing he can do now is go to like the Russian embassy and ask for asylum at the embassy and ask them to smuggle him out of the country or something. That's a lot harder to deal to do than when you still have your passport and you fly to Russia to do, you know, an interview for RT. And after the interview over, he's like, by the way, I'd like to stay. See, he missed his chance. He didn't get ahead of it. Tara Reid, she's seen where things were going. While she was still able to get out, she got over there and said, I don't want to go back. I'm afraid they'll kill me. That's what she said. She said, I think they'll kill me if I go back. Now, whether that, you know, could happen or not, she saw that potential. She saw the direction things were going and was like, you know, I'm just going to stay here. Likewise, the January 6th guy that went to Belarus. People might have sat there at the time and said, that's crazy, man. You don't even know the language. But you know what? He ain't sitting in the bottom of a jail cell being beaten up by guards, is he? When they take your passport and the FBI raids your house, you waited too long because now you can't get out. Now you're just waiting for them to decide what they're going to cook up against you. You know, that's all you're doing. You know, they raided his house, took all this stuff. But you sit there and say, well, that's okay if he hadn't done anything wrong. Hey, you got to be the most brain dead normie to think that. If you think you've done nothing wrong, you're A-okay. They don't find something. If they've gone to the trouble of yanking your passport and raiding your house and taking your stuff, they're going to find something. They're going to find something. I suspect, even if they got to put it there themselves. I mean, who's to say? Now, getting back to this story. And as I said at the beginning, we always start from the standpoint we know they're lying. We don't know to what extent. We don't know how much is true, how much is a lie. One of the things the gaslighting, among other things that they do, accomplishes is it gets you hyper-compartmentalizing to deal with it. Like I say, it's a spiritual attack. It's a mental attack. It's an attack on your mind. And as a defense mechanism, you will start blocking things out so your mind can deal with less and less information because it's under stress, it's under duress. Now, one of the things I tell people is to not read too much of this stuff, you know, because they are lying to you and it is attack on your mind. You know, read enough to get an idea of what's going on and then bail. You know, just don't. It will affect your mind. Now, when you step outside of the hyper-compartmentalization, which they try to herd you into, and you're able to continue to look at things with a bigger picture, let's look at this story. The U.S. government says these two Russians associated with RT set up a shell company, funneled all of this money to these conservative podcaster guys, e-celebs, to unwittingly disseminate Russian propaganda. First thing you'll notice, obviously, they never tell us exactly what this propaganda is. Well, anything that counters the official narrative is disinformation and propaganda, according to them. We know this. But I want to look at this story. If you step back now and look at this story, not in a vacuum as a story by itself, but let's look at it in the context of the way, the established way we know they already operate. For instance, we know, we've read numerous stories of the FBI protecting us from the evil terrorists, haven't we? And then how many times have we eventually read that, well, actually the way it went down was the FBI was the one who came up with the terrorist bombing plot. The FBI provided the bomb-making materials. The FBI provided the bomb-making plans. The FBI provided the vehicle to drive the would-be bomber to the would-be bombed location. And then they get the idiot to step out of the van and they jump out and arrest. Basically, they bust their own terrorist plot and say, we kept you protected from the terrorist. And the one retard that was got talked into going along with it, now he's going up to prison for the rest of his life for being a terrorist. Although he had no way of doing any kind of terrorism, all of that was provided by the FBI. There's many cases of this. You know, we know about, you've read those cases throughout the year, unless you've been living under a rock. You're familiar with that mode of operandi. You know they do that in these terrorism cases. Now, with that in the back of our minds, and we read this case, what if it's the same? Why wouldn't they apply the same motive operandi? How do we know these two alleged Russians have anything to do with it? We know because the government says so, but do they? They maybe so, maybe not. We don't know. All we have is the government's word for it. Or if they were involved, how do we know they aren't assets as well? You have a lot of these e-celebrities, and I'm not trying to badmouth anybody. But all of you aware, if you've been around, you're aware of the huge number of gatekeepers. Ben Shapiro didn't just wake up one day, and because he's so clever, he now controls a multi-million-dollar conservative media empire. That is not. And he's not one of the ones, by the way, in this story. I just use him as an example. These people are gatekeepers. I mean, whenever you have, oh, this person was getting paid $50,000 a month for his oh-so-important commentary on things political and things going on in the world, most of the time, virtually all of the time, if I'm being 100% honest, in my opinion, these people are gatekeepers. They'll say some things, but always make sure you stay within the bounds of a loud narrative. You know, these people, I read where one of these people jumped up and immediately started saying what a scumbag Putin is. You see, they keep you within the framework. They come out and say some things. Now, if these are paid gatekeepers, if, I'm not accusing anybody, I want to be careful of that. But if, supposedly, hypothetically, knowing how the FBI terrorist operations have operated in the past, what if, as an example, it's the government that sets up the shell company, links it back to these Russians. Whether those Russians are also assets or not is something we can set on a side burner. They launder money through this shell company to their asset gatekeeper e-celebs. And then at the end of the day, they bust their own ring and look what the evil Russians have been doing. They're once again planning to interfere and meddle in the American elections. Just like 2016, you're supposed to also forget that their own investigation, finally, they had to admit that there was no Russian meddling in the 2016 election. Now, again, that's all hypothetical. You know, I 100% have my tinfoil on my head. I'm not telling you any of that's true. That's 100% quote-unquote conspiracy theory. What's not a conspiracy theory is the government always lies. I mean, that's just a truth. The theorizing comes from the fact that we start from knowing they always lie, and we have to try to guess what's going on. We have to piece together and say, well, what if? So it is. It's all theorizing, but I think it is at least, the very least, plausible. They are setting up a narrative with this that the evil Russians, because they came out and said it as a part of this, the evil Russians are once again planning to meddle in American elections again. They're planning to meddle in the elections. They're planning to interfere with our democracy values of who we are. When they shut down RT America, they said they're not shutting it down because you're not allowed to speak against the narrative. You're shutting it down because RT America, which, you know, how many people ever actually watched that? RT America failed to register as a foreign agent. You see, they were in violation of not registering as a foreign agent. And we have, and AIPAC exists. Literally, every politician that runs for office has to go over to Israel and lick the wall or whatever the hell that is they do. And this maybe is another form of the gaslighting. You know, look, Russia did all of this complicated stuff to get people to say things that go against the official narrative. They're interfering with our democracy. Meanwhile, every politician goes and kisses the wall, wears the little hat on their head. They all stand and bow at AIPAC, regardless of party. And yet they have the nerve to insult our intelligence by talking about foreign meddling in our elections. I'll wrap up on that note. Y'all didn't have nothing. It's not y'all's fault. I know I was kind of all over the place with this story, but this is one of those stories that, you know, it brings in a lot of different points to cover a lot of things we can see going on. I'm going to watch it. I think there may be something big coming down the pike. This may be related to it, or this may just be more of the same. I don't know. Could go either way, honestly. Probably 50-50. 50-50 chance either way, but it'd be interesting to continue to watch and continue to see the direction things are going. I really do hope y'all enjoy your weekend. I hope you've had a chance to check out all our great content here on Radio Album we've put up this week. I'll be back on Monday to kick off your week with the Monday edition of the Daily Nationalist. So as always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.